I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Hello. Hello, Wendell. This is your conscience.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
How's it going?
This is neat. There's so much free candy.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's all you guys had to say. This wasn't even mentioned.
The free candy?
Okay, so we could just lure our guests into a dark room
with
the promises of free candy. Yeah.
Free candy! Also, we're going to record everything you say.
But
mainly free candy!
Yeah, this is cool. Are these cough drops? Because somebody really fucked up if these are cough
they
drops.
They are cough drops, but but sometimes you need a cough drop because we also use this studio for, like, recording
that's
voiceover
fair.
Stuff and, like,
that's fair. It
I
just
do,
seems like,
you know, little...
you're tricking people a little bit.
Well, don't pick it out.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We interview senior citizens sometimes, too, and, you know, they use candy for cough drops a lot.
Extreme sour? Heck yeah.
Technically, the cough drops are the only thing that are sugar-free, so sometimes I just suck on them for fun.
Ooh. Ooh, you're bad.
I don't know what I'm looking for, so I guess I'm not looking for anything.
A lighter?
Thank you. Yeah, that's probably what I'm looking for. That's a smart... Yes, that's exactly what I need.
Why should I open these before?
That's one of the things that I always forget I'm looking for when I'm looking for it.
Oh, that's smart. Yep.
And there's a reason for that.
Great. This is so fun. I love that we are able to have Wendell remotely.
I
think the coolest thing about what we do is sometimes that you get to travel. You know what I mean? Like the fact that he's going to, like, do a performance to, like, help kids learn how to, like, conserve water and, like, be better humans.
Oh, that's
like,
what you're doing?
Yeah. Right?
That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah, I'm up here. We're doing, like, summer schools and day camps and stuff right now. And, you know, summer school kids, those are the ones that don't want to pay attention. So it's a little more work than it normally is. But, it's pretty good. They're 2 years ago when we started, they were being hit really hard by the drought.
Mm.
That's not really the case right now. So it's kind of, you know, we're saying they're like, we need to save water, and it's thunderstorming outside. And
yeah.
So you're like, kids are like, it's falling out of the sky. What do you want from us?
Flare pens are my favorite pens.
I'm going to have to say...
What's
flare
up?
Pens, though.
Oh, Flare?
That's the brand, right? That's what it says?
Oh, no. I think it's
Flare.
Flare. Oh, no, I didn't know that. I didn't know they were Flare.
Oh, Delia has a fancy pen.
I have Flare.
They're my pen.
Shit, yeah.
You're so funny. It's like the movie Office Space.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of summer school kids, the first improv show I ever did was at a correctional facility.
Oh my gosh.
For kids, like a juvenile correctional facility. When the theater first started, when the new movement first started, we didn't have any shows at first. It was just classes for a little while. And the theater got asked if they would come and do this gig, which was like sort of like a special show for the people at this correctional facility who had been good. So they had done well, and they got a reward. And one of the guys that was like a counselor there, his sister was a comedian in town, and so she got a bunch of different performers to come and do a little show for these people. And it was me and Tammy and Christy Grace, which are human beings you don't know, but at the same time, it was three girls. And we went into what turned out to be an all-male juvenile correctional facility and did a wild little show. But they were very impressed with all of us, and every time we moved our bodies around, they were like, yeah! Woo!
Were they, like, giving each other, like, tattoos and stuff in the back?
Yeah, like, that's what happens while they're hanging out with us. Yeah, they're giving each other tattoos.
Like,
one
cigarettes.
Guy's just shivving another guy. Yeah, that's
what
happens.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you...
like, a lot of shivs sharpening. Yeah. just like they're just staring at you and just sharpening their their jail weapon.
That's a real funny joke that lady just told. But yeah, I was gonna ask you, did they laugh? Like, they laughed, right?
Oh yeah, they liked the show, which is hilarious because it's like, I can't convince regular people in the world to like open their minds sometimes to improv, but friggin' these guys who were like, I've been in jail for a while, what are you gonna do? I don't care, I'll watch it. They were into it. They weren't like hardened criminals. They were like 16 or whatever, but they were all in matching jumpsuits for sure, and had been and were in like it was like 3 checkpoints we had to go through to get in. We had to like send in our IDs ahead of time so they could check us.
Ooh,
yeah. I still have the T-shirt.
We had to do that. We have to do that up here whenever we go to the elementary schools. One person has to go in with all of our IDs, and we have to wear like stickers saying how long we're going to be there, where we're going to be located inside the building.
Right. I make my boyfriend do that just every time he comes home.
Tell me where you're going to be. Tell me how this is going to work. That's so funny.
Do you ever see him in the restroom and you confront him and tell him your badge only like lets you be in the living room or kitchen?
Sir, you're going to need to get into the living room and remove your sharp objects.
Sometimes I tell my husband, this is my bathroom, your bathroom's the other one. And he's like, but that's the one with the cat litter in it. I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's where the dirty things go.
Men, they're dirty.
Oh, man. So, welcome, Lauren Canuti. Thank you so much for being with us to the old Yes But Why podcast and also to our first foray in phone call conversations. So, you know, I'm real excited about it.
I'm very excited. I'm honored to be here.
Oh, you're so sweet.
This is fun.
You're so sweet.
Mostly, I love hearing my own voice.
It is really nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you put the headphones on, you get that sort of like, I am a radio personality, and people are interested in listening to my voice.
When I was growing up, one of my favorite hobbies, and this will tell you like how many friends I had, was I had my own phone line, and I would call it. I know, pretty cool. And I would call it, and it would, and like let it go to voicemail, and then I would sing Michelle Branch into it, or you know, sometimes ABBA, you name it. I would sing. I would change my voicemail outgoing. That was the only way. I couldn't listen to voicemails on my... Ooh, I fucked up the story, you guys. But I would change my voicemail, and that was the only way I could hear my voice.
Oh, yeah.
I was so obsessed with myself that I would be like, and I'm not the best thing to me on my voicemail outgoing message, and I would just hope nobody called at that time. But, like, I'm sure somebody did at one point. So,
oh, my God. That's so great.
It was risky. That was when I first dabbled with risky behavior.
Oh, that's funny. I had like, a little boombox that I recorded, like, a tape of myself. I actually still have the tape. I have this one tape that's just filled with me doing shows in my basement.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great. It's super fabulous to listen to because it's me alone with a record player and some stuffed animals. And I like play music. I'll be like, all right, we're here right now. This amazing show. And then I turn on like Madonna and I'm like, oh, all right. Spinning the tunes.
That is amazing.
I remember my cousin and I did I had one of those portable music players had the tape deck and a CD. Ooh. and I would purchase a lot of blank cassettes and we would record, and we had our own talk show. It lasted, I think, 2 episodes, and our theme song was just, you know, the Batman theme song from like the Adam West, like, where it was like,
na, 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 na.
Yeah. Well, we did that, and then we were just like, na, 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 Natalia, and then we would say her name, which was Sheena, and then we would add talk show. It was very bad.
That sounds great.
Sounds really good.
I think I was 10, I think she was 12.
And please tell me you have these somewhere.
I don't think so.
Can
I wish I did.
Can we steal that?
Can we steal that? No, we can't steal that.
Can we use that for our podcast?
Technically, we would be, going against copyright.
Okay.
Children are allowed to do whatever they want.
Good thing I didn't sing all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just 30 seconds and you're fine.
Okay.
You can legitimately do anything.
When I close my eyes, it's you I see. And I just keep going for 29 seconds. This is really my dream come true.
You really are delving into risky behavior. Look at you.
I know. I dare you to listen.
Risk taker.
Delia is not a serial killer. She just takes notes on what we're chatting about, you know.
Yeah.
For the blurb for later.
Yeah.
A blurb
She's
for later.
She's like organized. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, we're like legit organized audience. Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
This is for reals. In fact,
we're like serial killer organized.
Yes, we are.
Don't listen to that guy.
In fact, very recently we did procure the website of yesbutwhypodcast.com.
I saw that.
So I'm very excited about that because now, you know, new level.
It was a gift from your husband.
It was.
He was like, happy birthday, get to work.
No, he was like, happy birthday, I transferred all 12 of your first episodes onto this new website.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And designed the whole thing. Yeah, no, I don't know anything about the old interwebs, guys. Guys, remember when I told you I used a boombox and there was a tape in it?
I was in a basement?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm a child of the 80s, guys.
Is this for me?
Yes, you can drink
that. Okay, I did not know, and I didn't want to just take it. I'm going to grab this
roll. Yeah, drink that Topo Chico. I got three of them because there's three ladies.
Thank you, Amy.
Yes, but why? Absolutely. Sponsored by Topo Chico.
Oh, if only.
That would
someday.
Be...
We just keep eating snacks, hoping one day, you know, like Cheez-It or Boston old-style candied peanuts.
Do you get the same? Who bought these?
I did. I love those.
I've never seen these except for in Cracker Barrel. I thought they were an ancient treat.
They are of yore, and they're from Boston, right? I've never, you know, what's funny is when I lived in Boston, because that's where I grew up, I've never seen those before in my life. But now that I'm here in the South, they say those are Boston old style candied peanuts. Never seen them before.
Everybody in Boston has them in their house. I can't do a Boston accent. They got them in their house. Got them in their shoes.
I got so many. I don't know what to do with them. I got so many Boston old style.
What are they?
Lorraine, for the love of God, get out the Boston old style candy peanuts. I mean, we're gonna have guests over.
My boss is coming over. I can't do it, but you know, the boss.
Bursting at the seam with old style candy peanuts.
Oh, yeah, good time. So, Lauren and I know each other from our experiences making comedy videos, which is a super fun part of life.
Oh, sure.
And I actually remember I was telling Delia that when I first met you, I didn't know your name was Lauren. I just knew your name was Canuti because that's what they called you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the...
I really like going by Canuti because I know when people are talking to me, they're not talking... Like, sometimes when people say Lauren, there are so many Laurens in the room, but if someone says Canuti, I'm sure they're talking to me. But introducing yourself as your last name, there's no way to not seem like a big douchebag.
I don't know.
It's tough.
I mean,
I've
you're
tried
not
a lot
like a
of
burly
ways.
Man, so like I feel like if you're like, hey, I'm Canuti...
I say it and people are like, oh, that's a pretty name. And I'm like, thanks. And they're like, I've never heard of it. What? Your parents are creative. And I'm like, oh, it's my last name.
Oh, so you end up having to have a weird, awkward
like,
conversation.
Oh, well, I wish you would have just said that. What's your first name? And I'm like, okay.
Oh, because they're
you
lame? That's your problem?
You don't have to be an asshole. It's Lauren.
It's like,
go fuck yourself.
Welcome to Rydell High. My name's Canuti. These are the pink girls.
Yes. And then I spray painted on a wall.
If you need cigarettes, you come let Canuti know.
Yeah. So, that's that.
I remember when we first met. It was at
I don't know the first time we met.
It was just at one of the, Rafe Smith parties. Just one random one. I don't remember exact date. I just remember us being at a party and somebody being like, have you met her? And we were kind of like, hey, what's up?
It's weird when you, like, first... enter the comedy world because there are so many people who are already in it and who already know each other. They're not meeting as many new people.
Mm-hmm.
So they meet you and they're like, a new person and a woman. And it's really overwhelming because you're like, I don't know anyone and I'm trying to remember all of these new people. And then you inevitably forget their faces sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Again, these are just the ways I feel like an asshole all the time.
Mm.
But I remember, like, a lot when I first entered that universe, all of these people, forgetting so many names.
Oh, I mean, there were thousands of people. And,
and they all have plaid shirts and beards.
Oh, my God, so many of them. I mean, like, I even have a beard right now.
Mm-hmm.
what was I going to say? Your work. How long have you been here doing comedy? Because you said when you enter the comedy world. Oh, yeah. So, like, when did you enter it?
It's funny. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and he was like, what comedy stuff, like, when did you know you wanted to do comedy? What kind of comedy did you watch growing up? And I didn't. I was like, my dad loved Bill Maher. And, like, I read the newspaper each week and turned in a report about what was going on.
To your parents?
Yeah. And, like, they actively told me that, like, they weren't really into SNL or things like that. I didn't know about any of that stuff. So I didn't, like, I was doing advertising and stuff, planning on doing that through college. So it wasn't until probably, like, 4 years ago that I started really, like, knowing that comedy was even a thing that people could get paid to do. Some people.
Even acting? Because when I met you, you were already, like, active and active actor.
Okay, yeah. So I've been acting since I was 5 or 6. So maybe I misled you. I've been acting for a really long time, and I always enjoyed doing comedy, but I didn't realize that... I guess it didn't occur to me that there were, like, comedians, and they actually made money.
Oh, yeah.
And that it was, like... It could be a viable profession. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't realize how many people were pursuing it. I mean, I guess I was under a rock, is the answer.
I don't think you are under a rock. I think I had heard of stand-up, like, Steve Martin and those people, and you know that they're there, but they also do movies and lots of other things. They have diversified their portfolio.
Exactly.
And so, for me, I didn't know that it was a thing that people were actively pursuing, and how many different ways of starting there are, because you can do stand-up, and you can do all of these other types of, like... Any way you get into it, there are these different levels, but I didn't know that it was anything you could penetrate.
Same. I just didn't know anything about it.
I'll be honest, I don't know that, like, the success of the stand-up really is, like, a perpetual thing. I think very recently, in the last, like, 40 years, did anybody who did stand-up comedy get something out of it. Most people who were performing stand-up comedy, like... before that were, you know, doing movies, you know what I mean? Like, they were actors in movies, you know what I mean? Like, or that's how they started out but now there's just so many, you know, like, Richard Pryor was one of very few that was doing what he was doing and then also made movies and blew up and was big. Whereas I'm sure there were plenty other people that went on that show and tried, but didn't quite make it. Whereas now there's, like, so many people that are, like, top, making a lot of money just doing that kind of thing. Like even people, like at the level of, say, Jim Gaffigan.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He's not, like, I'm sure he can go to a mall, maybe. I don't, Lord knows. But, like, at the same time, you know, he's still super famous. He has plenty of money to, like, I'm sure he doesn't have plenty. But you know what I mean? He has a lot of children. So, like, he's making a living. In, like, a real way.
More facts about Jim Gaffigan than I do.
Really?
How many kids does he have?
Oh, I want to say, like, 8.
5.
Really?
Is it 5? I think it's 5.
Yeah,
hey, Jim,
5.
If you're listening, my nanny.
Jim lives in New York, unfortunately.
Oh, I'll fly.
So you're going to be in L.A. You need to find somebody in L.A. that you can nanny for. We'll see what we can do.
Well, he'll probably just get him to move to L.A., And I'm sure he's listening to this.
Certainly.
Sure,
let's
is.
Not sell ourselves short.
Absolutely. He is our number one fan. For sure. For sure. Jim Gaffigan. But you know what I mean? Like, there's lots of different ways to do it. I mean, and sometimes I think, like, what's my path to whatever? Like, pretty much, I personally would just like a path to regular work. Like, I don't necessarily, no one needs to know my name. I don't need, like, crowds saying, like, hey, me. But, I mean, it's nice sometimes. But, like, you know, it's, as long as, like, occasionally I'm on stuff and then somebody meets me and they're like, weren't you the girl who, you know, murdered the other girl on NCIS? Yeah, that was me, you know, or whatever.
Can you stab me? And
yeah, exactly.
You go for it.
And then I just get carte blanche to murder people, which is great.
You're the woman from the fart commercials.
I hope.
You're the woman with uncontrollable farts.
It's like the PSA for women. Like, informing men, women do fart, and you could be her.
Can you imagine legitimately, like, farting on camera?
No.
I think that'd be done in post, probably, knowing what I know about film.
No, we need that real fart. Not like these amateurs. We need that visceral fart.
I just like the idea of having a person. I mean, I get also we could get an actor making a face like that so I can smell it. But like, I don't know. I kind of just want to torture someone for real.
You should.
But I mean, let's be honest.
It's like, welcome to the shoot here. Your pickles and eggs.
Oh, gross.
Also, the microphone goes, like, you have to wear pants so they can have somewhere to hook the microphone.
Oh, yeah, like on your butt? Your butt microphone?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a height of something, for sure. I remember, tell me about your acting. So you've been acting since you were five. What sort of acting have you done, and what does that mean?
When I was in sixth grade, I was in the play Inherit the Wind. Mm-hmm. I played hot dog salesman, and my line was, "Red hots, get your red hots, red hots."
I love that you still know it. I don't know the lines of the first play I was in.
That was my line, though.
Sure.
That was it. And then my best friend, was a Bible salesman, and she'd say, "Bibles, get your Bibles." And we were just enamored with the whole thing. We were like, we are actors. Look at this crowd of people who's come to watch us. Like, I had a full hot dog salesman costume. I wish I had some pictures. That'd be really great. So I've been I went to a really small school. So basically if you wanted to act, you could.
Mm-hmm.
There were 17 people in my graduating class.
Wow.
And it was like a kindergarten through 12th grade situation.
Oh, wow. You just grew up in a small town?
Yeah, where are you from?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio, but my parents got divorced when I was young, and so I had to go to a school that was in between then.
Oh.
So it was private. It was non-parochial, so there were no nuns or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got into, I was just doing theater, and then I started getting very into theater, and I would go to these thespian conferences, and I would do monologue competitions.
Oh, okay.
And I was, like, competing at the international level, and,
Shit.
I did, like, the all-state play. I played, have you guys ever seen Dead Man Walking with Susan Sarandon?
Yes.
No.
So, it was a book. It's based on truth, and it was a book. And so there's a play called Dead Man Walking, and I played Susan Sarandon's character.
Oh my god.
And that was the first, I mean, it was an hour and a half long show, and it was mostly just monologues, and it was a lot. And that's when I was like, oh, I'm really in the thick of this. Uh-oh, I better think of a different thing I should get good at that'll make me money someday. Like, I never considered, there was never a possibility of me, like, pursuing acting in a realistic way. Like, maybe when I was five, I was like, that'd be fun, I'll be famous.
Huh. But
once I was old enough to, I was like, no, I have too many marketable skills. I have great SAT scores. Why would I ever throw all that away to try and do something so crazy as acting? Like,
did your parents not like it? Was it, like, not something they would approve of?
I mean, they were always really supportive. I feel like I'm talking to my therapist.
Well, I mean, you don't have to, like, tell us anything in too deep a detail.
Honestly,
at all.
My therapist,
we can also
Becca,
share how our parents feel about our acting careers as well.
My therapist is really cool, if that makes it easier. So I'm like, it feels like I'm hanging out with my really cool therapist right now. But yeah, so they were always really supportive, but, like, my dad's an attorney, and he had three majors and went to college for free and was...
Because he was so smart, they let him?
Oh. Yeah, he was the first person in his small town to ever get a perfect SAT score and was, like,
whoa,
in the papers. And I mean, he's really brilliant. Hey, Dad. But, so he was always encouraging me to consider things like law school or something where money is a little bit more of a possibility.
Yeah.
So I just always was, I always agreed. I always was like, yeah, of course. And so even in college, I was... studying theater and English, and I was like, don't worry, I'm going to do advertising. I'm not going to do acting. I'm not insane. And it was like a very last minute kind of switch to stay in Austin and pursue any of this stuff.
Oh, that's so funny. It's funny to me because I last minute switched my major to drama when I went to college.
From what?
From biology.
Ooh.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be a scientist. Yeah, that's right, everyone that knows me that may be listening to this. I thought I was going to be a scientist. Yeah. So I picked the college that I picked because it had a great biology department and had it all set up that I was going to go there. I mean, I was like weeks from starting school, and then I had this like, my heart just was like, you need to do what you want to do. Theater is your life. And I like called up the school and I was like, what can I do to switch my major to theater? And like, we just switched it all over the phone.
They were like, it's actually not that complicated.
Yeah, they're like, it's totally fine. Let me do it right now. Yeah, it's like, that's done. And then my parents weren't home like while I made this phone call. And then so like my parents came home, they walked through the door and I was like standing there and I like started crying and I was like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, what happened? Oh my God. And I was like, I switched my major to theater. Ah. And they're like, that's fine. We were kind of expecting it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's all you do. So I don't know. Like, you've been doing theater for a bunch of years.
You were doing a monologue in the shower yesterday.
Yeah, you have the still that recorder.
That makes it sound like you're still recording yourself. But I just meant they heard you.
I get it. Plus, I mean, let's be honest, what really would have happened is I would have recorded myself while I was in the shower and then played it for them later going, did you guys hear this?
Made everyone
sit
down.
Oh my God,
it's
amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you should play it while they're in the shower because they couldn't get out, so they would have to listen to you in the
shower.
Oh my
God, that's
a
great
time
idea.
To make people listen to you. I'm going to find where every casting director in Los Angeles lives and I'm going to get into their house while they shower. And that's when I'm going to pitch myself.
Oh, that seems like a great idea.
You know what would be good too is if we somehow came up with a shower head that had like a AM, FM, whatever speaker in it, and then we controlled it, all of them, and then made them listen to us all the time. Because if we're gonna go big, we should go big.
You're right.
Yeah, Delia.
You're right.
Done.
We ooh, just, I like this fire.
We just got a. What do you guys know about shower heads?
Oh, I know a thing or two.
Oh, gross.
I don't know anything about shower heads.
Oh, okay, I thought it was a Friends joke where Ross. Yeah, to that.
Tell me the Friends joke.
Well, it's the episode where Monica inherits a dollhouse, and Phoebe gets a dollhouse because Monica won't let her play with her Victorian dollhouse. Phoebe makes this really badass dollhouse with an incense room. Ross comes into the apartment. Phoebe's dollhouse is on fire, and so he tries to put it out, and he fails. And so then he bursts into the restroom where Monica was taking a shower and also getting to know herself. With her shower head.
The one where Monica comes.
Yeah.
Oh, no! Is that somewhere what it's called, is it?
Yeah. No.
Well, she technically didn't get to. He ran in before, I think, that it got to that point.
Oh, that's a good point. Excellent on that point, Wendell. Also, thank you for a Friends reference. I feel like we haven't had one in a little while.
Yeah, it's
we
been
have
a
not.
Minute. That's kind of how this whole thing got started.
It is how this whole thing got started. The three of us were having a conversation about, like, theater and our careers, and we also referred everything to Friends. We made about 27 Friends references while we were having a conversation, and I said, you guys are nice. Let's start a podcast. And that's how it all began.
Wow.
Friends, Bigot Friends, Bigot Podcast. That's the way you use that, right?
Yes. Yep.
I think it's Bigot.
We're French. We're French. So you're here doing comedy in Austin. So you've been here, how many years did you live here?
Seven.
Wow, crazy. Me too.
Ooh, funsies. Yeah, I went to a little school in Georgetown, Texas, just outside of Austin.
Okay.
Called Southwestern University. It was a little liberal arts university.
Cool.
Very great. I recommend it. And then, yeah, like I said, I was doing advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Was planning on going back to Columbus because Columbus is sort of an ad mecca. Was offered this cool position with a salary and called back with every intention of saying yes, but said, I'm going to have to turn you down. I'm actually staying in Austin and I'm pursuing film.
And my roommate and I were just, like, in the room, in the living room together, like, what have I done? What is this terrible decision I've just made? So then I started working as a PA, a production assistant on a film set, and I still was, what?
Wendell, did you have a comment?
Oh, no, I didn't say
it. Oh, sorry, I heard
noises.
There was
some feedback.
There's a ghost.
Yeah, maybe.
You're a PA on a film.
So I started working as a production assistant and getting into the film world that way, and I still was not planning on acting. I was still telling everyone I knew, don't worry, I'm not sure what in film I'm going to do yet, but it's not going to be acting. Like, I was like, I was convinced that in order to pursue acting, you had to be absolutely, truly deranged.
I mean, you're not wrong, I don't think. I think you kind of do have to be deranged, but I feel like you're right, that you sort of have to exhaust all the, like, options in your head of other things you could do.
Maybe that's what it was, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You have to be like, well, I could do this. And then you're like, no. And then you're like, well, I could do this. And
I could be a vet.
No.
Oh, I think, like talking... Because if you think that it's deranged, you're talking yourself out of the crazy.
Exactly.
But it's not. But you're not, because you wanted to do it.
Yeah. So. I think I was trying to talk myself out of it, probably. But, yeah, so then I stayed in Austin, started working in film, worked as a PA, and then, actually, this is... So I worked on this feature called Balls Out as a production assistant that shot here. And it was a great experience. That was my first film I ever worked on, first film set I'd been on, and it was wonderful. It was so, so cool.
Yeah.
And Kate McKinnon was in that film, and she was absolutely as wonderful as you'd imagine her to be, and just the best. And watching her was so inspiring and so fun, and everyone loved her, and she was a good person.
She was really a nice person
who is funny and smart and so kind. This hasn't changed you, and you're making a living, and you're actually affecting change in the world. And then I had mentioned to her that I had done acting and I was kind of interested in it, and she was really supportive. And I was like some PA, like, you know, I mean, she had no reason to have to even, like, go into it with me, but she always did, and she was really supportive. And then after we wrapped, she, on her last day, we were drunk. We had been drinking a lot of wine. And she pulled me behind one of the trailers, and she held my shoulders, and she gave me a speech that was just about, you know, I know you, and I trust you, and I want you to follow what you want to do and not what other people want you to do. And I can't wait to see what happens, and I can't wait to see your name in rolling credits, you know, after a movie someday. I'm proud of you, and I can't wait. And I was like, I have to do acting.
Oh!
Kate McKinnon told me I have to act, and now I have to act, which goes against everything she said about doing it for me and not someone else. No, I mean...
Hilarious.
That was really... So, I don't know, things like that just made me feel like, you know what, you're right, carpe diem... Why not try it? If it's something I'm interested in, why not try it?
I love that, too. That was such a fun movie to work on. I got to do a lot of extra work on it because, you know, all of our pals were making it. And so, I got to watch her a little bit. And, yeah, what a sweetheart. I love that she told you that. That's such a, like... Ugh, like, my heart is full with the sweetness of
watching,
that story. Like, I could try.
I teared up multiple times watching Ghostbusters the other day.
Oh!
Because watching Kate on the big screen... I mean, I've seen her on the big screen, and I can see her on my TV every Saturday, but watching her kick ghost ass in that movie, and watching this thing that was sort of off-limits to me growing up, because it was for boys more than... And just feeling like... No, this is mine, and feeling so connected to it, and just feeling so proud of her, and it was really, my boyfriend and I, like, looked over at each other a number of times, just, like, hearts full, you know.
Yeah, that's so great. That's so great. I love, part of the great journey, when you're doing this kind of stuff, is to see friends of yours do really well, and then you get to, like,
be there with them and, like, be excited with them about other stuff, too. Yeah. So I think that certainly has been one of the things that's kept me moving along, because it's like, everybody around me is fine. Like, let's just keep doing this. And, like, all these people that I know, and plus, like, all the projects that you work on, you know, I just like new projects. I just meet, like, meeting new people and working on new things and just being like, what sort of creative situation can we do? And there's so many fun people out there that want to do projects. Super fun. I did not realize that Balls Out was the first film that you had worked on. That was really great. That's so fun.
Yeah, I went in for my interview and I was like, yeah, I've never been on a film set. Someone hire me, please. And they did. They
originally titled Intramural.
Yes.
Oh, yes, please.
I enjoyed being part of that as well. Those dudes, that crowd are, you know, Dave and Russell and Bradley and the like. They've been a great inspiration to me moving, like doing stuff in Austin and feeling like, no, this is a professional situation. Like you're doing real work. You're like making stuff happen and it's like, you know, matters. Yeah. And in fact, a lot of the part of after we met sort of in a social situation, then we got to work on some like humor-y stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the fun. Grave Smith the fun is, things going
I've
on.
Worked now in the industry for 3 years, and I mean they're one of my Grave Smith produces consistently good material, and they're incredibly good people.
Absolutely.
I've worked with a lot and enough to really work with some people who I despise and some people I love, and they do a great job of, you know, being kind to people and also creating quality stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They do have a high standard, too, of putting things out. I don't know, Delia, Wendell, have you guys ever seen Humorty or the comedy videos they're in?
I'm actually, just for the sake of not sounding like an asshole, I was not super familiar with you, Lauren, before we did this, so I'm actually kind of, like, looking over your website and stuff right now.
Oh, no, you have a website.
I'm not familiar with you either, Wendell, so don't worry.
Well, that is a much more reasonable thing, apparently, because you have a pretty extensive body of work as I'm pouring through.
Well,
oh, cool! He's looking at.
Well, a lot of commercial stuff and everything. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to sound like a weirdo right now,
no,
but just for the sake of knowing who
Wendell,
I'm talking to.
I love this. I don't ever want you to stop. Go on,
no,
just
yeah,
read
I'm
my
not
resume from the bottom to top. Let's start with the older
okay,
stuff
absolutely,
and get to
I'd
the
love
newer.
To, yeah, so it's
how many commercials have you done, actually, speaking
honestly,
of which?
Honestly, not a ton, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, less than 10.
Sure. What was your favorite experience?
Oh.
And also, you can, if you'd rather tell the one that was, like, the weirdest, that's also fine.
Oh. I mean, my first commercial I was ever in was in
great
Ohio when
uh-huh
I was 16, because I was driving myself. And it was this Ohio Lottery commercial. It is in the interwebs. It is findable?
Sure.
I'm on it, guys. Don't you worry.
It is discoverable.
We will
but
have it
were
linked to the episode.
There were parts. I had an agent, and I got sent out for part of cheerleader, and there were these three little cheerleaders in the commercial dancing around in front of someone's door trying to sell them lottery tickets, and then there were a series of other like high school archetype kinds of kids coming to the door too, and I auditioned for cheerleader and I felt good about it, and my agent called me and said they really liked you, they're gonna offer you the part of band dork.
Oh.
And I was like, I'd been telling all my friends, I was like, I think I'm going to be a cheerleader in this commercial. How cool.
Oh, I just found the picture on your website from this commercial.
Yeah. I'm in like a full.
Yay. Look at you. That's adorable.
Yeah. Full band costume. I look like I could guard a building in Britain. So that was the most. But so even though I was like, oh, of course, I'll be band dork. It was still the coolest thing ever. I was just like, I've made it. And then I got my first speeding ticket on the way home because I was so excited after having rapped and done it all and, like, made my family proud.
What a great thing, because, like, it just makes me feel like the world was like, hey, You need to take you down a notch. You need to understand you just did one commercial.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Maybe you started realizing when you were young, as soon as you came back, you got slapped with a ticket, and then years later, you're going to go to Ohio to do advertising. And then, so was that one of the first times you said it over the phone or out loud? Like, hey, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, but thinking, hearing the words come out of my mouth was like I could visualize them and I wanted to get them back.
Wow.
So when the cop pulled you over, were you like, do you not know who I am?
Yeah. I was like, excuse me, someone bring me a tiny dog and a Fiji water. He was like, ma'am, you're gonna need to get in these handcuffs.
Every time I see Fiji water, I remember that the first time somebody handed me a bottle, they're like, it's good. It's like water, but chunky. I was like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want that.
Chunky water. That's disgusting.
Right?
I need to talk to their brand manager and see where we went awry here.
Nobody wants clumpy water.
Yeah, I'm real sorry. That was the, it was super, yeah.
Wait. I've never had Fiji water. There's clumps to it?
Yeah.
Is it chewy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've drank it and it's just like water. It's just water. Okay. You know what it is? It's dirty water, Wendell. It's the water you and I drank when we were growing up.
Okay.
The rest of the people don't understand that water.
No. Yeah, straight out of the garden hose. You know? That kind of water?
Precisely.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a little bit of dirt in it, it's great.
The real mineral water, you know? Like actual mineral water?
Yeah, like tap water, but special.
What's a hose? Yeah.
They don't have hoses in Ohio, eh?
No.
What's Ohio like?
A lot of basements.
What? You said basement?
Yeah, there are no basements here, and I really miss
them. That's good.
I also miss them. I really
miss them. Okay, I thought that was like a reference to that guy that kidnapped those girls in Ohio.
What?
Which guy kidnapped which girls?
Remember, like, they found those, like, girls that had been kidnapped in that guy's basement for a couple of years?
Why don't you pull up the article?
Oh, yeah! I think I know what you're talking about. He had them for, like, 15 years or something?
Yeah. He had kidnapped them really young and then just had them, and then somebody noticed, somebody, like, saw them, like, being ushered into the house really quickly or something. Like, he would take them out.
I think one of them had a child by him as well. This happened two or three years ago.
This has happened to more than one crowd of girls.
But this one was somewhat recent, and it was like three women, I think. Two or three, something like that.
Ladies,
that's all I really know.
Don't get in the van. Get in the van. That's the lesson here. Don't get in the van. Also, Ohio.
They love ground in Ohio.
Basements are great, though. I love basements. I wish there were more of them in Texas.
Great. What do you do with them? I'm just kidding.
You keep things in them and you hang out. So that's a great thing. But honestly, Columbus, Ohio is a bustling metropolis. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like Austin. It's very arty and liberal and young. But the city is old. There are a lot of interesting buildings. There's a lot of history. There are great museums and great, you know. I mean, move to Columbus. It's a great place.
Cool.
I get defensive because people are like, Ohio, what's in Ohio? And I'm like, it's actually pretty cool.
I know.
Yeah.
Blow
Ohio. I know, like, Bone Thugs and Harmony and Kidnap Victims. That's about, that was, like, the extent of my... Yeah. And Yingling. I miss Yingling. Isn't that made in Ohio? Or, like, I met people from Ohio.
That's Pennsylvania, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's Pennsylvania, and we're completely...
You guys should make Yingling.
I took a road trip through Ohio one time. That's pretty much my experience with Ohio.
What were your thoughts?
It seemed pretty. We enjoyed it as we drove through it. As I recall, we made it, so that
home
was good.
Home of the original Wendy's. So.
Oh, well. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, at least you're, like, pleasant about your where you're from. Like, I don't like Boston at all.
I'm from
Boston, and whenever, like, honestly, has more. Honestly, whenever I talk about Boston, it's always very negatively, and people are like, oh, but it's great. I'm like, then go move there. Like, have a great time. I'm not trying to stop you. I just found that vibe was just not my vibe. Not my vibe.
There's a difference in, like, visiting a place, too. Like, I hate South Carolina, but people like going there for like the shore, and like it's definitely a good place to like dip your toe in and not do anything.
Are you from there?
But like when you're yeah, and it's like when your whole life is at stake, you know, South Carolina is a death trap. But
have you ever heard
if you need to do stuff,
have you ever heard of Fripp Island?
Which island?
Fripp.
Yeah. Well, there's like 24 off the coast of South Carolina.
Fripp
and
is really
tiny. Yeah.
I used to go there. One of my best friends in high school had a place there. What do you know?
Really?
That's I mean, when I would go to Myrtle Beach, I would always like make friends with people from Ohio, because that was like, I guess that was one of the.
That
I guess
was a
the
big
coast
vacation
of South Carolina
spot.
Is one of the. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the closer touristy places.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Really? Mm-hmm. Do Ohio and South Carolina border states?
No, but Ohio is not. Ohio's landlocked.
So
yeah,
there's just
a
lot of Ohio tourists in South Carolina.
Just the beaches.
Huh.
I mean, just Myrtle Beach. I mean, like, Myrtle Beach is, like, the most, like, touristy thing South Carolina has to offer. And it's kind of like the Jersey Shore with, like, a lot of Confederate flag boogie boards and stuff.
I wonder if you ever met each other but don't remember.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
Like,
I was a girl
teens.
Vomiting. I was underage.
That was everybody in Myrtle Beach.
I know, it was awful. That was like where I learned about alcohol, and I was like, no thank you.
The only thing I know about Myrtle Beach is the movie Shag.
The movie Shag? Oh yeah, because that's the state dance.
Maybe.
There's a state dance.
I thought
like
these
the
were just
steps.
Regular, but they have some kind of thing on them. And
these are
so
fancy. I'm sorry, we're eating really fancy Cheez-Its. Let's see what flavor it is so that we can tell the audience and make Wendell drool.
Oh my god.
Cheddar
Jack. See, Myrtle Beach is also where Magic Mike XXL is set.
Oh.
Or that's where they're trying to get to.
Are you reading that online?
You just
No, I actually watched
Beach?
It. I watched it, like, last night because I don't ever get cable. I don't have cable, so, like, I always watch, like, HBO and stuff when I'm here, and I was just starting when I got into the room, so.
You don't have to make excuses.
Yeah.
And then,
no, it was good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like, it was a lot funnier than I thought it would be.
I was going to say, it started when he came in the room, and then it finished with Wendell 10 minutes later.
Oh! Nice.
Hey, Joe Manganiello, that guy's above gender. That guy's just
you,
that
was
fun
the guy
to look
from
at.
Pee-wee, right? And in True Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like,
I mean,
How I Met Your Mother.
I like him, but, you know, I know him from How I Met Your Mother, and, you
Which
know,
guy?
He betrayed Marshall, so fuck him.
Yeah, he was a super douche there for a second, but then he kind of like, but they sort of made up and they were bros again or whatever.
He was in the, did you see that new Pee-wee movie? Pee-wee Herman?
I have not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Did you ever watch How I Met Your
Mother?
Yeah,
it was all getting to his party. Yeah.
No, okay, he's an actor and he's very attractive.
Oh.
That's pretty much what you need to know, I suppose.
Well,
Magic Mike, he has a very large wiener. That's like,
golly
like
gee.
That's
I'm not watching
name.
This. I don't know why I'm leaning towards the phone as if he can hear me better when I'm leaning towards the phone. He can't. There's a microphone.
That's so good.
I've never seen Magic Mike XXL, but this evening I did have a conversation with, right now I'm teaching training camp at the theater at the New Movement, and it is an intensive, and today right before their like show of the night, because they get a show every night, I was telling them how I believed that Dude, Where's My Car is a perfect screenplay in form. And that
we talked about this, yeah.
Yeah, so I've mentioned it multiple times on the podcast. Loyal listeners, yes, once again, I'm talking about it. But with interest to that, I literally have forgotten where I was going with reference to that.
You think Dude, Where's My Car is a great screenplay.
You're
right.
At training camp.
Yeah, and I was telling them that I felt like it was a really good way to, like, watch that movie with an eye for form. And one of the other girls said that she felt that way about The Hangover. Is there any, like, movie or anything that you watch that you find yourself sort of, like, following along, like, knowing the beats or acknowledging the structure as the movie goes on, or a movie that you've watched a lot that you're like, this is something that I can examine because it's like the 47th time that you've watched it or something like that?
Have you really watched something that many times?
I mean, I'm sure I haven't watched Dude, Where's My Car 47 times, but I could say I've definitely watched it at least 10 times.
See, as you're saying that, I'm feeling inadequate because I can't think of a movie that I've watched
a lot of times, other than when I was a child, I watched Dante's Peak so many times that I had the lines memorized.
Whoa.
Like, every
Whoa.
Line.
Wow.
But it's
Wait,
not...
Grandma getting roasted in the,
yes!
in the chemical in the pool? Yeah.
God,
yeah.
That scene. Let's get some playback.
She pushed everybody. She sacrificed her lower half to get everybody across,
okay,
like,
well,
the...
spoiler alert, but for everyone who hasn't...
I haven't seen it, but also I'm pretty sure it was made, what, in the 90s?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Early
90s.
It's got a Pierce Brosnan.
It came out like in conjunction with Volcano,
yes.
Tommy Lee Jones.
That's always what happens.
And
yep.
Yeah. Like Deep Impact and Armageddon.
But so I wish I had an answer to that, to a movie that I watched time and time again, but there's so much content out there that I feel like that I just don't do that. I watch something different every day and I feel like I haven't seen things more than a time or two usually. Hmm. I wish I had an answer.
Do you ever, I guess maybe, my mind's just very structure-based, like that's how I look at everything. When you do improv, what's the, like, I guess I'll take it from a different point of view. When you do improv, what's the, like, way that you think you approach it? Like, do you approach it with an eye of, like, you walk in and you're trying to find, like, structure, like, what's the game, what's going on? Are you more of, like, a character person, or do you find that you just sort of, like, live in the moment really intensely, or?
My improv is definitely much less structure-based and less game-based. Those are things that I'm always working on,
mm-hmm.
Because they aren't things that I naturally think about. I just get in there and make eye contact with my scene partner or partners and feel it out and explore relationships. And
mm-hmm.
see where those take me,
mm-hmm.
in like a very TJ and Dave kind of way.
Right.
That's so cool. I just maybe like a month or a month and a half ago, watched a video of theirs.
Oh, yeah?
And I had only known one of those men from like the Sonic commercials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching them play the way that you just described it, looking at each other,
it's
feeling
amazing.
It out, they were doing so many role reversals.
Oh, yeah.
It was...
It's unreal.
It was so good.
Were you just on YouTube?
No. The true.
Or was it their documentary?
Yeah, it was. It was one of their. It was like their show, and there was a little bit before and a little bit afterwards.
Is it the movie This Is All Made Up?
Yeah.
Maybe I believe that it premiered at a South by Southwest a few years ago. I don't remember what
it was
called.
I think this is a much older. This Is All Made Up is older than.
Yeah.
That.
Okay.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But they're amazing.
Yeah, they
and
do a show every single week.
That's
in
what
Chicago.
I strive for.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I'm there,
mm-hmm.
but that's the approach I take much more so than, you know, I took UCB while I was in LA.
Great.
And I'm going to continue doing UCB because that's not the way my mind naturally works.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think I just try to approach it in like a zen explorative way, and I just explore whatever is fun. And if that is the relationship, or that usually comes for me from the relationship.
You know, I wonder, you took classes at UCB LA, is the fact that most of the people that are taking that are, like, working towards sort of, like, a business eye for acting, does that change the way they act to one another? Because I appreciate that you're saying that, like, you sort of approach it in a sort of zen, like, feel out what's going on, but did the other people have that sort of, like, open-hearted, go-with-the-flow mentality?
Yeah. Honestly, the people... I wouldn't say they were better than the people in my classes in Austin, by any means. I think it was comparable, and I think good things about the people in my classes. And actually, it's the opposite end. It's like, people are a lot better than I expect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are a lot... Also, just kinder and more... there were a lot of people who really surprised me. There was this one girl, she was so sweet, and she was a full-time nurse, and she was just taking the class to gain confidence, and on the first day, you know, she just even introducing herself, she was laughing, and she was like, it just makes me so nervous. And then to see her, she was doing stuff that was cracking me up all the time. You know, I mean, I think that's what's so cool to me about improv, is that so many people can be so wonderful at it, because you don't need to have anything when you arrive.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't necessarily need to be an actor. You know, whenever
yeah.
I teach it, I'm like, you don't need to be an actor. It's really just about making sure your scene partner knows what you're talking about. No matter what.
Yeah, and the fun is, and a lot of the fun is, like, diversity of voice, you know, like, and perspective and things like that. where you just get a lot of different angles on the same thing, and everybody can kind of come together to bring it into like one whole cohesive thing.
Yeah, I do like that. It's like everybody, you know, brings in their own bit of the puzzle, and then all together you make a lovely picture together.
Yeah. I'm like, I have all info ABBA. You guys provide all the other info. That's what I bring to the table.
So funny. So you're going to LA again. You went to LA before. Did you go to do an intensive?
I went for a few weeks, I went for a few months. I went there to take, it wasn't an intensive, it was just level one.
Mm-hmm.
I went there to take that and to work on a little series with some friends and just get out there and, you know, honestly what I was doing was, I genuinely believed I was going to LA to just know for sure that I didn't want to live there. I was going there to, like, rule it out and know that I wasn't. Because my boyfriend really didn't want to move. He's, you know, his business is in Austin, and I didn't want to. I was afraid, and I didn't. So I thought I was going out there to just be sure that I was doing the right thing by staying in Austin. I didn't think I'd like the people, and I just thought it would be too scary, and I actually really liked it, and I didn't think there weren't as many differences from Austin as I thought there would be. So now I'm gonna go finish UCB and so hopefully do IO, and I don't know,
Second City maybe.
I mean, I would love to do as much as I can. I want to do a sketch. I'm building a writer's room. I'm hopefully releasing some, you know, I mean, I just want to go do it all.
My uncle lives in LA, and my uncle Joey is the person that, like, inspired me to be an actor. He was an actor. He did like high school theater at the same high school that I did it, and then he moved to New York when he was 18, and so he's been in acting since then, and he's, I guess, 18 years older than me, so like he's in his 50s still doing it, still doing projects and doing stuff. In fact, he just was in a pilot, and then is,
so he's like, a working booked some actor. Stuff.
Yeah, he's a working actor. It's great, and it's so wonderful to know that he's there. So like, I can go visit and like go check it out myself, because I've thought of that too. It's like, I just need to go and see what I can see. But one of the things he told me about, which I thought was really fun, was that weekly he goes to these meetings of people who like are putting together like screenplay readings, and they're like brand new screenplays that people are trying to like, you know, get notes on, or like just make better, or like have somebody of note to listen to. And so they all go in, and then the actors who are interested in reading like put their name in a hat, and then the people who coordinate it have already picked the screenplays. They've like talked to people and arranged it, and then they pull the actors out and they give them roles, and then they just sit in this bar together. Like the bar, it's like the event at the bar, and then all the actors go up on stage and read, and then everybody kind of has a discussion about it after and drinks and hangs out.
That sounds so fun. Yeah. Can anybody go?
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanna
so I was like, so yeah, I'll introduce you to my Uncle Joey. He's a great dude.
Hey, Joey.
Yeah, he's fabulous. He'd love Russell too. You know, so I think that there's lots of different kinds of people. The way there's lots of different kinds of people in Austin. The way, like, clearly, somehow, you and I have lived in this town for the same amount of time, but we certainly haven't known each other 7 years.
No.
I mean, 3 or 4, maybe. Maybe just right before Balls Out, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, that's not that long to have known a person. I mean, hell, I just met the show that you do every Monday. At 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. Fuck This Week, one of your fellow cohorts, Frank, also lived in this town for seven years.
You didn't know Frank?
Never met him until like maybe like a month ago. You know what I mean? I'm like, how crazy is this that this whole town has so many things? And so I feel like that's the case in any good city.
Oh, exactly. And the same thing's gonna. Part of me, I mean, I'm so excited to get out there and meet so many new people and explore so many new things. But I'm also, you know, it's gonna be it just takes a lot of work and energy going, like I was saying before, when you're the one who doesn't know any of the names, it's harder to be in that position.
Wow. Yeah, that, I just like how you tied that all together, and it's very true.
Yeah, good, she's bringing the story together.
So I don't regret that time, and I'm not
you know, there's, it wasn't bad, but it's just, it's a little more, there are more stimulatory things going on. So there's just more to take in and comprehend. So it'll be tough, but...
So when you went to L.A., it enchanted you and changed your mind once again to do the thing that you were insistent not to do. So
yes,
it's
so what's the next thing going to be? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder, because...
Stripping.
No.
I do that anywhere.
I'm not very coordinated.
You can do that anywhere, yeah. Don't do it in L.A.
That is literally an everywhere job, yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah, yeah, if you move back to Columbus, that's what you can do.
Yeah.
But no. This is just another step in the journey. And in fact, when we first started the podcast, this was a lot of what we were discussing, because the three of us are at sort of like different points in our careers and do different kinds of things. And so we like talking to people who are in the theater and in, you know, film and acting, and see like where they're going and how they're going to do it. Now, do you have an agent already lined up, or do you have meetings or anything like that? To get an agent?
So I have an agent here.
Okay.
Who has given me some information on someone to reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's guaranteed.
Right on, yeah.
And
it's nice to have a connection.
It's nice to have a connection, but, you know, this person doesn't know me and could very well say, you know, not interested.
Sure.
And it's tricky. It's a catch-22 because some... You know, a lot of people who I trust and respect have said, don't go getting an agent. Wait for one to come to you. If you go find an agent, they're not going to be... It's less likely that they'll be interested in really fostering your career and helping you, because it will take some work because you're not famous. But if someone finds you and actively wants to represent you and sees something in you, they're going to work harder, and it's going to be a better relationship.
Sure.
So, ideally that'd be great, but then, you know, how does that happen?
Yeah, it's like people telling you, go ahead and wait for Mr. Right, he'll show up.
Yeah.
Just like, sit right here, he'll be there here in a second.
Yeah.
He'll swing by. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
So,
I gotta go check them all out.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to... But that's some advice from some people I trust, from a number of people I trust. So I think just finding the balance, trying,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the one hand to do research and actively, you know, try and get meetings. But also, you know, an agent isn't going to change it all. You have to, you know, so I'm just planning on doing a lot of my own stuff.
For a little while, yeah.
And kind of going from
can
there.
Can you go to auditions without agents
yeah,
in
sure.
these places? Okay. It made me feel like it was like too, I don't know, high up.
I mean, you know... I don't know, but it's difficult to gauge quality of audition. I was out there, I did two auditions in the time I was out there,
mm-hmm.
and I booked one of them. I played a sorority president on a courtroom show.
Great.
Suing a sexy handyman.
Of course.
And then the second thing I auditioned for, I did not get, and it was the audition, and I'm using rabbit ears. Is that what those are called?
Air quotes.
Air quotes. Okay. See, for someone who's actually listening and not there, I was like,
rabbit
is this
ears.
A Hollywood term? I don't know. I was using rabbit ears like that's a drug, like a performance enhancer thing or something.
So anyway, this audition, air quotes, was, it felt like I was in a Christopher Guest movie with two, I mean, I'm not saying any names here, but it was like two guys who'd never... done anything before. They'd never even heard their script read aloud. And they were, I was auditioning to play a reporter for one scene, 1 second, for $25 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Money's money.
Yes.
And I was at this audition for, you know, a long time, over an hour. I had to keep refilling my car meter, and because they were so excited to, and like they were so sweet, but they were so excited to talk about their project that they were having me like improvise as reporter, but ask them, you know, like, so tell me about the writing process for your script, and then and
they
like,
made you interview them.
Yes.
And they filmed the whole thing?
No, they didn't film it.
What?
That would be funny. That would be really smart. But
that's
was,
ridiculous.
No,
that
that's the thing, because they weren't trying to be shady. They were just so excited.
you know, it was just...
Was it like at their house?
It was at a Starbucks.
Okay, way better.
I know. Yeah. No, I didn't go. It was in a basement.
Do they have basements in L.A.?
Yeah, they, I was going to say, I thought basements only happened on the East Coast.
They have them in Boston.
Basements only happen on the East Coast.
Oh, now you're going to be a pop singer.
I don't think there are a lot of basements there. But yeah, so so the point is, an agent is helpful because they, you know, help sift through a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fine. It's not like it was an hour and a half of my life I'll never get back, but it was an experience. And life is all about collecting experiences, right?
Sure. I'm down. I like that. That's why a lot of people will get, like, upset about auditioning, and I'm all like, I love auditioning. It's like a tiny show.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like a tiny, tiny show.
That's really, I like
one person and a camera. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's usually two or three, and there's a camera, right? They're filming me. Okay? Clearly it's a show.
I'm going to write that down next time I'm panicking about an audition.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best part, actually. And when you get the call back, it's because, like, the audience wants an encore.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. They, like, want to see you again. And the cool thing is, being in this town, you start to like, recognize the casting people. So then you, like, walk in and you're like, hey, what's up? Like, you know these people.
I really don't. I here's the other thing.
Did you do a bunch of auditions here that you met a bunch of different people?
No. I really haven't in Austin.
What was your agent doing? There are things to audition for.
I think it's... You know, my age, my look, I'm not sure. They're evidently isn't as much for someone who is not yet who's a girl, not yet a woman.
Okay.
Not a girl, not yet a woman.
Well, okay. I mean, it's interesting because, like, we're in different markets, you know, like, I'm in my 30s, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a different kind of person. And,
yeah.
How old are you, Lauren?
I am 24.
So, okay, all right.
You know, there's just...
The breadth of work you've already done, and you're only 24. I'll
be
honest,
Lauren.
Yeah,
I was going to say, this is a...
Lauren, I had sex for the first time when I was 25, so...
Honestly,
you would still be a virgin right now if you were me.
And who knows if I am or if I'm not.
A lady never tells.
When I was 24, I lived in New York City.
That's very kind, and you guys are all flatterers. But I was actually just on the phone with my high school theater teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, we keep in touch. And, you know, he was asking how things are going, and I was saying, I'm already 24, and what do I have to show? And he was laughing. And I was
because he's an adult man and realizes that you're ridiculous.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know, I know people say June Squibb got her start when she was an older woman, but I'm not as patient as June Squibb. You know, she was in Alaska, Nebraska. She's great. But yeah, I was like, that's great for her, but I don't see myself wanting to be absolutely destitute.
Well, I guess that's a question then, and I guess it'll probably end up being our sort of final question, which is, like, do you think, I mean, and I guess you probably can't dictate this because the whole time you've been telling yourself to stop and you never have, but do you see yourself, like, getting up to a point and deciding you don't want to do it anymore? Or do you think this is something that's so in your blood that whether you're famous or not, you're just going to keep working projects?
I can't see myself ever getting out of this. I feel like I've tried enough times.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And it hasn't...
Yeah, you've been talking yourself out of it for a while.
Yeah, I've tried everything to convince myself otherwise. But there's something about it that keeps bringing me back. And I really do love it too much that I can't imagine not participating in some way. But I am also open to the fact that people change, and there may come a time where maybe I move from acting as a primary focus to writing, show running as a primary. You know, I could see some kind of...
I also have thought about show running in that way, for sure.
Yeah, I could see
that. Seems like a logical move.
If that happened and I was at a place where that was something I enjoyed, then great. I think that's exactly what it is. I'm going to do it until it no longer is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine just stopping.
Well, thankfully, part of what the mild amount of wisdom that I can bring to the table as a 38-year-old, I guess, is to say that, like, what I've experienced is just new and different crowds of excited theater people that want to do projects, and I go from project to project to project. And, like, I lived in New York for 3 or 4 years. I'm here in Austin for this time. Like, someday I won't be doing what I'm doing right now. I won't even see the people that
yeah,
I see
change,
right now.
Change is natural.
And then, you know, whatever my next level is, you know, you just do different projects. And I thought about it myself. I was like, well, I mean, you're almost 40. Are you going to, if this doesn't, like, if you're not famous or something, like, you're going to stop? And I was like, no.
Well, I think
at this point, I have no other skills.
What you said before, I know, same. I'm like, I can get a stain out of almost anything. And most dogs like me. What you said about being a working actor, that's really my only goal. I mean, along with, I want to create good things with good people. So, but that can be a personal endeavor. I mean, I just want to be supporting myself in in creative fields.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking for fame. I'm not, you know, so if I were looking to be the next Kim Kardashian, it would be a lot easier to give up because it's a much less practical thing.
Yeah.
But being a working actor is an achievable thing. There
yeah,
are plenty
absolutely.
Of people who do that.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself throwing in the towel ever. I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad.
They're proud of you. They know you're working hard.
Yeah.
Plus, to a certain extent, if the world seems to be coming and pulling you to this over and over and over again, you have to sort of trust the way of the world to that it's drawn you to the right place.
God,
sometimes.
I hope.
I mean, if you keep, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's yeah. like, if you ring the bell so many times, it's like, well, of course, that's what it's going to be.
If you ring the bell so many times, that's what it's going to be.
Sorry, I know that doesn't make any sense, but you get it, right?
Yeah.
The old bell metaphor from Boston, yeah.
Yeah, it's as Boston as those Boston old-styled candied peanuts. Delicious.
Brought to you by Lance.
Lance.
Yeah.
That is the brand name. I'm going to eat them right now. However, we have come to the
delicious.
End of our time. Lauren is a busy and exciting lady. Any final thoughts from Wendell or Delia that you want to chat with Lauren about?
Delia, I'll let you go first. I feel like even though I'm 3 hours away, I've kind of been jumping in a little too much. So
no, you haven't.
Okay.
You guys are both perfect.
Okay.
You've been very right. tempered. Don't do
well,
anything crazy,
say,
though, Wendell.
Gonna say it was really nice talking to you. It's really good to hear from somebody who is, like, really nailing it, like, early on, at least from the way I measure success.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
Well, it was really good to hear you say that about L.A., too, because I have always kind of had the same sort of shut off idea, or like I've been very scared of the idea of ever having to go to LA.
Mm-hmm.
Just being from the East Coast and having met Californians since I've moved here, I was just like, okay, no, it's exactly the stereotype that I think it is. So, like having heard you say that makes me kind of want to give it a shot a little bit more. So that's
I mean,
that's
I think
good.
It's all about finding your tribe, you know.
Yeah.
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 Aw, yeah, finding your tribe.
You
that's
know.
What I meant by ringing your bell.
Yeah, I think you just gotta find your buddies.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes you're lucky and they just fall at you.
Absolutely.
That's the wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Delia?
Oh,
Also, it was great. Also, with you. And you're great.
Yeah, Wendell, I'm proud of you for doing the research while we're in the podcast. You're, like, looking it up. And you're like, oh, I see your breadth of work.
I wish we had
well,
more
Well,
it's
funny because,
into.
Like...
I see you were sleeping.
I was trying to do research earlier, but I hit my data cap yesterday on my phone. So, like, when I was trying to load her Facebook page, all I got was Lauren... It, like, how to say your name, because that's on your Facebook page, yeah. Lauren Canuti. Like, yeah. You have it phonetically.
Yeah,
and then,
you got
and then below that, it was Columbusville, Ohio. And then I was like, okay, well, what do I know about Ohio? And I already said that it's kidnap victims and bone thugs. So I'm glad that, like, yeah. I was able to find a good Wi-Fi connection
yeah.
while we were talking, because that limits a conversation, I think.
Absolutely.
I'm just like, that's a fun name, and that's a weird place. Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah, I was imagining finding your tribe being sent to ring your bell.
Find your tribe.
That's why we don't combine those two metaphors.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, just go out there, find your tribe, and ring your bell.
Yeah, you gotta find the tribe that rings your bell. There you go.
Hey, there you go.
And also, I guess it's pretty bleak, but thinking about life in the sense of, like, the industry, and you mentioned not ever wanting to quit because you could be a showrunner, and
I just threw that out there also. Who knows? There's so many jobs.
Yeah. Well, that was my ultimate takeaway from that example, was that there are so many different ways that you can still be involved within that industry, but not acting,
yeah.
which I wonder if that's maybe where, like, you might have mentioned it, but that's where your brain was going, like, not really dipping your toe,
mm-hmm.
not really getting out there on stage, but kind of dipping your toe by, like, being a PA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking how... how in life you also have to do that as well, of just finding things that keep you interested, that keep you around, instead of becoming bored and not wanting to be there anymore. And that was all. That was the big thing. And I didn't know if it would be too bleak to mention earlier.
No.
But,
bleak.
Well, just in terms of, like, I don't want to be here anymore in life and in show business, and then just not being there anymore.
Hmm.
Suicide is what I was going with.
Yeah.
That's why it was so bleak.
Yeah. No, I mean, thanks a bunch, you guys.
It was great meeting you.
No, I mean, it's interesting because the acting career really is a tough thing. And please, enjoy a Boston Old Style candied peanut. Here, Delia, put this in your mouth.
Okay.
That's
the nicest way anyone's ever asked me that before.
It's such a difficult career. I mean, like, even my Uncle Joey has expressed some ups and downs
sure.
over the years. I mean, man's in his 50s. Don't get me wrong. He's an actor through and through. I'll show you a picture of him. He's handsome as crap. And it's like, no, this is your job. Like, come on. But that's the other thing, too. Part of me feels like if you just keep putting yourself out there, I think a lot of people don't do things because they just don't put themselves out there. And a lot of people think that they're an actor or a stand-up or a lot of things, when really what they are is someone who is interested in that but doesn't actually do any of the work and doesn't try or anything. So, like, even just the act of you going to auditions, even just the act of you, like, putting yourself out there, I really feel like no matter what, you'll find a few projects where somebody's like, you're the one that I want to put in this, you know?
I hope so.
Because there's always, people are looking for variety of different things.
I'm at least now focusing on not waiting for people to decide that I'm right for their projects, and instead just fostering my own projects.
Well, that's helpful too, and
yeah,
I think
that's
really
great.
Like, kind of, a lot of ways, that's kind of how you do it.
That's
given
me a lot of
creating
the power back. There was a time where I was wondering why I wasn't in more auditions and why I didn't know the casting directors in town, and I was getting really down about that, and then I, you know, decided, what am I waiting for? I'm going to write my own things for my... I'm a complex woman. I can write a thing for myself. And
yeah. Yeah, plus, I mean, you just never know, especially in the particular market that we're in, like, what anyone's looking for any of the time. I mean, like, I get a lot of, like... you know, like, older businesswoman, like, mom, you know, those sorts of things. They're always looking for, like, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and that sort of thing, where you're just like, I'll be the matronly person that makes you feel better.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Which is fine.
There are a lot of roles that are not particularly interesting or...
Right, but at the same time, like, great.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
good, whatever. But, like, you never know where you're at if, like, there's the people. What I'm saying is, like, maybe in L.A., the people that are like, oh my God, you're the one, are waiting right there. You know, that's what I've always found. If you're looking for a project and you're on a journey, like, it's going to be there. You know, it's your journey.
Yeah.
I'm really excited, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing how it goes. Maybe someday in the future we can have you as a phone guest.
Ooh!
Yeah, like in a few months after you've moved there and you've had some experiences.
And I'm like best friends with Bill Murray.
Right, and you and Kate are like high-fiving via Skype because she's in New York, and yeah. But you're still like total besties, mm-hmm. You know?
Leslie Jones and I are swimming together.
Oh my God, one can only hope.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Ooh. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us and being a lovely person.
Thanks,
and,
you guys.
It was great getting to know you.
Yeah, this was lovely and
yeah,
really fun.
And good luck on your journey. We're really excited and wish you all the best.
I wish you the pleasantness.
Great. Let's start the basement craze. go out there, put a lot of basements out in L.A., if nothing else.
I'll become a basement installer.
A hole digger, basement installer, whatever.
All right. I'm going to hang up with you, Wendell. Good luck shaping the minds of all the crazy people that need to know about conserving water.
Absolutely. Thanks. I'll be back in Austin tomorrow, so I will definitely see you guys around. And, Lauren, it was really nice talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Thanks, guys. And that's the end of tonight. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast.